We found somebody who knows as much about Illinois sports as Lauren Tate, believe it or not. His name is Mike Pearson, the author of Illini Legends, Lists, and Lore. You've been reading his historical tidbits on Illinois athletics for more than 20 years in the pages of the News Gazette. This week, he's in town, so he stopped by to talk all things Illini with Lauren Tate. We'll be back with her scintillating discussion right after this. Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media, reminding you that at newsgazette.com we have a ton of podcasts every week, from Brian Barnhart's Penny for Your Thoughts to Scott Beatty's News Hour to Elizabeth Hess, Dave Gentry talking with movers and shakers on their morning show. Head to newsgazette.com and search for podcasts.
Well, we're fortunate today to have Mike Pearson in town, all the way from Ohio, huh, Mike?
4 hours away, Oxford, Ohio.
Okay.
You've been to Oxford, haven't you?
Yeah, I think so, it's been a long time, but in any case, I know approximately where it is. You were the University of Illinois Sports Information Director in
19... I came in 89. I came back
96?
In 89, yes.
Yeah. Now, you had been assistant to
I was to have been his assistant.
Right.
That was my very first professional job. Was
oh,
in
really?
1975. Just graduated from Michigan State. Went down to a sports information convention. My next door in the hotel was Tab Bennett. And so I got to know Tab pretty well. And I was this kid at that point seeking a job. Well, Terry Shepard, do you remember that name?
Absolutely.
Had just left. And so they needed a position, and I worked for two of the masters at Michigan State, Fred Stabley and Nick Vista, are two of the legends in that profession. And so, you know, if they said you were good, that took you a long way. And Tab, so he talked to Tab, that was that. But then I came back, so I worked here in Champaign from 75 to 79. Went up to Western Michigan University for a year as an athletic promotions director. Then Nick Vista invited me to become his assistant in 1980. Stayed there until about 88. Then Tab, of course, got in the accident that precluded him from continuing.
In Indiana, wasn't it?
In Indianapolis at the Final Four.
Yeah.
And the university called me and said, would you be interested? And it all took off from there.
This is the background for you getting involved in what we now call, what you call, Illini Legends, Lists, and Lore. And how did, led you to start this whole idea of historical record of the University of Illinois sports?
Well, number one, there wasn't one.
Okay.
there wasn't a single source for that kind of information. But when I was hired by John Makovic, who, of course, was the athletic director and the football coach at that point, he said one of your first responsibilities back in 89 was we want you to be the committee chair for the football centennial. And of course, we celebrated that in 1990. And we had a lot of fun, you know, bringing some of the old, you remember, but game by game, we brought a lot of individuals back from the years of the 40s, the 50s, et cetera, and so on. And so I decided, you know, to become a little more intelligent about the Illini, I need to start documenting this information. And I began establishing a chronology book, is what I call it. For every day of the year from January 1st through December 31st, I have a sheet. Well, it's now multiple sheets. And I chronicle events, birthdays, et cetera.
Now, you're keeping up and have been keeping up in recent years with what's going on at the University of Illinois. But this whole thing started in 1980 something.
Yeah.
And how did you find all the material in the early 1900s? You know, and during the World War I and all the way through World War II, all that period.
The University of Illinois has a very good in those days they had a very good system. They're called manager reports.
Okay.
And the manager at the
on
end
all
of
sports.
The on all sports at the end of the year, they would put together a bound book of clippings, programs, etc., box scores, etc., for each and every sport. And so that was a primary source.
Is that the material that's over in Kent Brown's office?
That's
now?
Right. That's yeah. right.
I've been
they
through
call
that.
It
that's
their
great
research.
Stuff.
It is. I mean, it is. And so where else are you going to find that?
Yeah.
Now, a second avenue for me was microfilm. You know, you're sitting in front of the microfilm machine.
Oh, boy.
And that's hard on the eyes,
you
number
bet
one.
It is.
But so you have to go through each and every clipping. But in these manager's reports at the university, it's kind of one-stop shopping for history.
You know, in reading your book, you see all the highlights, and it's all positive.
Mm-hmm.
What I find to be...
Not all positive. There's,
no, well, yeah. Of course. No, I didn't mean... But you come away from the book feeling good about things,
yes.
and you tie things in so extremely well, which gets me, this is kind of a contradiction, the feeling about Illinois right now with all the losses, as you know,
mm-hmm.
in women's basketball, men's basketball, and football in the Big Ten. Have you come to any conclusion? People ask this all the time. What happened? What turned it in the wrong direction here, at least temporarily?
Well, in the minds of many of the fans, and I'm on social media. I have Twitter accounts and I have Facebook accounts. And in the minds of the fans, it was the man that they hired as the athletic director who in turn hired a football coach and a basketball coach who weren't very successful
mm-hmm.
and didn't recruit very well. And so this hole was...
But the reason they hired those coaches was because they fired the previous coaches.
That's right. That's right.
So, I mean, it isn't...
It wasn't good when they came in.
No, I mean, so it wasn't just...
But in their minds, it wasn't a step up. You know, mm-hmm. they were hoping to improve upon Ron Zook with Tim Beckman. Well, it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
And John Gross, while he had some success, you know, Bruce Weber had a long string of success, and then the recruiting dipped at the end, of course.
You're very close with Tom Izzo. I believe you were involved in his wedding.
He was my best man in the wedding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You now see, look at the talent he had. We saw this on Monday night.
Right.
Incredible. I mean, they went on a dunking show.
Yeah.
And he has built that thing up, and he'll lose some of those guys to the NBA this year.
Yes.
Jackson won't be back.
He'll lose two,
Bridges
possibly three.
Yeah. But he'll still have a good team next year.
Right.
Because the talent comes. And when you win, the talent seems to feed. And when you're in the opposite situation, the Illini have had problems that get worse all the time, football particularly, and basketball too. Now, basketball, you can recover more quickly because it doesn't take as many good players.
You need three,
really,
you need three really good players and then surround them with role players.
Yeah, the other two can be switchmen or rebounders.
Yeah.
But my point is, how do you turn it when it's going the wrong direction, which it is right now?
You need some breaks. You need that top recruit that Brad got, with Mark Smith.
What
was Izzo's break?
Because his first couple years were...
His break was the city of Flint. You had Mateen Cleaves.
Who was going to go to Michigan, by the way, before a car accident.
That's exactly right.
Did he get a break or not?
He sure did. Well, I remember, Tom was Judd's assistant for many years, and I distinctly remember the night I was introduced to an eighth grade player named Chris Weber, who announced that he was going to Michigan State. And, Judd, you know, this was one of the great stars of the time, and we had finally, you know, broken the ice. Well... Some money got in the way of that one, as we found out later, and Tom really took that
somebody
one hard.
Somebody named Martin got involved.
Yeah. So then, but the Flintstones came on,
and that was the
thing that turned the program for them.
And now he's a national recruiter. If he wants to be.
He's like Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
You know, he chooses. It's not he recruits. He chooses which ones he's going to take.
I'm going to go back to the book a little bit. I just looked up 1941. I thought that was an interesting year because that's a year that Germany invaded Russia, I believe, and we had a Bob Richmond was the MVP of the basketball team, and I didn't know this. He died that very year in the service. He was in the U.S. Navy and had a plane crash, and he was the MVP of the basketball team that year. DiMaggio hitting 56 straight games.
Yeah.
You gave me that information.
Ted Williams hit 406.
Yeah.
Who was the MVP that year?
DiMaggio.
DiMaggio. Ted Williams hit 406.
You know what? People, the media loved DiMaggio more than Williams. Williams was a nasty guy to talk to.
Yes.
He insulted me one time, believe it or not, on the baseball field. But I asked him something about the Yankees, and he just walked away in a huff. But Illinois had a hockey team that was a national champion. I got that from your book.
Yeah.
And my point in bringing all this up is that you tie in national events with UI events that are unrelated to sports, and yet some are related to sports. Now, how did you settle on this this way of doing it?
I decided that people, many people live in the past. What happened when I was 12, when I was 15? You remember, like, in 1961, I'm 10 years old. The 61 Detroit Tigers were my favorite team of all time. They won 101 games and finished 10 games behind the New York Yankees that year.
And only one team went to the World Series, right?
So my point is, you remember your childhood, and I wanted to tie in those American events, those world events, with the Illini history and kind of put it in a nice little, neat little package.
Now, you, I said that you're, I know that you're following, since the late 80s, I suppose you've been following Illinois pretty closely.
Oh, yes.
But now you, how did you, you still had to go back, and you explained some of that, but going back and getting all these various details for each year, explain how you did that.
Well, I talked to people, because I didn't live those years, you know. I talked to Chuck Flynn at length.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, to Charlie Bilotti, my predecessors, at length, you know, because they lived through those events.
Yeah.
And I didn't. So in the format of my book, it's somewhat limited. It's USA Today style is what I call it, where it's, you know, 300 words tops. So I had to find out what were the top events. And I made a list of 25 events. And Chuck Flynn would say, "Oh, well, this is number one right here. You gotta talk about, you know, the basketball team went to the Final Four.
Oh, really?
Or the Rose Bowl team, you know, in 51, etc." And so and I also had the chance to meet some of the legends, and so I talked to Ray Elliott at length about those things in the 70s. I was his chauffeur back in the 1970s to the Illini golf.
But you didn't have anything like this in mind.
No. But I gathered those stories. And, I just wish I had Ray Elliott on tape, because he just expounded upon, you know, some of these great memories, the great games, and what happened and why it happened, and who Buddy Young was and what he went through and so on.
Do you find yourself, in the newspaper, we certainly spend much more on basketball and football than any other sport. Mm-hmm. You pretty much break it down. You're pretty fair to all sports and try to be equal. And I always find this interesting. We have such an interest in golf around here, but nobody ever sees the guys play.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. It's like track, too. How many home track meets are there anymore?
Outdoors.
Very few.
Outdoors, maybe one.
Right.
And then, even then, some of the runners are off someplace trying to qualify. So I just, how did you approach it from the book standpoint in being, you know, in emphasizing the sports that people want to read about and at the same time working in the other sports?
You have obviously different levels of interest, but they're all, when it all boils down to it, they're all human beings and they're all good stories. So in 89, you had the Flying Illini, of course, but you also had a heck of a gymnastics team. You know, that was one of Yoshi's first great teams, with just loaded with stars. So you have to pay attention. I based a lot of my choices on success.
Sure.
And when there wasn't success, then you tried to find a personality that had a good story. And so, but success was the number one.
Well, how did you treat the demise of the Stoner era, for instance, when he was fired, or Mike White, and those peaked in the 80s belonged to the Illini.
Oh, yeah.
But then something happened.
Yep, you had to address that, because that's history. you know, yes, you remember Tailgate and the 78,000 crowds that were coming in and the 75-yard pass plays and but then it all kind of crumbled, you know. And you remember this? It was on a winter evening when I think maybe even you broke the story about what was his name, Hartley Dykes.
Oh, yeah.
So and then things started to crumble a little bit, and then you had, you know, the Stoner issue with using university funds to do this and that, and boy. So now
Bill Crow was the one that broke that story. Really, I mean, he's the one that broke it to me. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he had told me several months in advance, and this is getting off the subject a little bit, but he told me a couple months in advance, he said, if I get fired, I'm going to have a story for you. I said, why would you get fired? He said, well, because Stoner's going to hire his sister's husband as the weight training coach. Uh-huh. And I said, really? I said, is he certified? No, he's not certified. Or maybe he told me. I didn't ask if he was certified. He said, no, he's not certified. Uh-huh. And the next thing I know, it's months later, and he and Bill and I met in secret, and then I'm meeting with all kinds of people in secret. Bulldog,
Bob Wright,
yeah, and you know, and it was a terrible time, and a lot of people were upset because everybody loves Stoner,
yeah,
you know, the
but
fans,
you know,
love
what?
Stoner.
Those days are nothing compared to what Penn State went through Michigan State is going through right now.
How far, by the way? What's going to be the Is the university, is the athletic department going to be affected by this in any way, you think?
I would say there are several people on the administration that are sweating bullets right now.
Yeah.
Because did they know
that? Nasser, the trainer.
And there will be, the Attorney General of Michigan is now going to do a thorough investigation.
Oh, boy.
What did you know and when did you know it?
Now, what's the NCAA going to do?
Well, they did something to Penn State, if you remember. So,
I know, but they've been, it seemed like they haven't been really involved in this.
Not yet. I think there are some dark days ahead for Michigan State, and it's really hard for me since that's my alma mater. I don't want to see them put in that light from a public relations standpoint. It's a horrible situation.
Now, this is the book that's out right now is your third edition.
Right.
What have you done since the second edition?
Oh, there's any number of things have happened. So, but the newest addition to this book were two things. I decided I had not done a very good job of chronicling women's athletic history.
Okay.
And so this time around, I have devoted two pages to each season since the women's program began.
Two
so that began in 74, 75.
Two additional pages?
Two additional pages for each year. So there's two pages for the men, two pages for the women, starting in 74, 75.
Wow.
And so,
well, what had you done previously?
Basically, I'd mentioned something here and there.
Okay.
But now it's much
devote.
More complete.
Okay.
And then we have a section in there on disabled athletes.
I saw that.
And so those folks work hard too.
Yeah.
While they're not varsity athletes, they have accomplished so many things that I decided, let's put, you know, 6-8 pages on them in this book. And of course, we've got the letter winner lists of all time. And basically, there's 10,000 plus names.
How do you keep all the birthdays?
Well, you have to do some research. Media guides are a major source.
Are you keeping this stuff in a computer or you got it written?
I'm in the process of putting this into a computer because if a fire breaks out in my computer room, the first thing I'm grabbing are my chronology books because there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours that I've devoted. So I'm in the process now of putting it into a database and making this kind of permanent.
When do you start your Michigan State book?
At age 66, I'm not
that's
sure.
That's young,
it,
man.
It is. I know. So it'll happen if somebody asks me to do it. But I'm not sure I have the energy to see that one through.
Well, it's a big job to write these books, and this is extraordinary. I mean, I can't imagine any Illinois fan, anybody at that game Monday night, the people that were there, if they, you put this book in their hands, they're going to love it. I mean, I hate to be a promoter for you.
I love it.
I mean, it's sensational. it really is. And you can look back to the years when you were in school, and you can look to the years that when you were younger, and look back in history, or you can look last year.
And I designed it.
I saw something in there that was from 2017.
That's right. Yeah. Of course, we included the Hall of Fame class in this book. So yeah. That happened right at the very end when we selected those folks. But I designed the book to show, to open it to any page. This isn't War and Peace. It's not War and Peace. You don't have to start at the first page and end up with, you know, here's how it all unfolded. You know, you can open this book at any page.
Mike Pearson, thank you very
much. Hey, great to talk to you.
Legends, Lists, and Lore for the Illini.